The words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. So I'm not sure what's going on, because every time I prepare a longer sermon, I have a shorter time to preach. And every time I have a shorter sermon, I have a longer time to preach. So I don't know what's going on, but what I do know it's going on, it's about our relationship with the Word and how we relate with the Word of God. Several years ago, I once visited a historic church not too far from here. More than 100 years of ministry. And when I entered the narthex, you know, the entrance to the church inside, there was a corner in the fellowship hall, and I found out that there was this cornerstone displayed. So perhaps they did some renovation in the church building, and they dug up this cornerstone, and they put this cornerstone in a pedestal, foundation stone, cornerstone. And I read that the cornerstone determines the entire structure, the architectural point of reference. When we were in Israel, we were blessed with an opportunity to go underground and navigate the part of the Western Wall that was accessible to tourists. Not many can go there. And then in the corner of my eye, I saw a group of Orthodox women. I didn't know that they were Orthodox women, but their heads were covered. They were reciting from the Jewish prayer book. And so I asked our guide, can you help me understand what is going on? What is the relationship between this particular place where they have gathered? And the guide simply said, well, Pastor, you know, the cornerstone, the foundation stone, is directly or approximately 30 feet or 30 meters away from them. So they were praying because that is the cornerstone of the temple, of the very beginning of the Jewish faith. And so in the Gospel of Luke, I realized that the cornerstone is not the actual stone itself, but rather it's a spiritual cornerstone, a spiritual architecture, and how Mary and Luke related or relates to Jesus. From the earliest interpretation, this was like a choice between listening and service. Are you going to be Martha today? Are you going to be the one in the kitchen, cleaning pots and pans, preparing food as a way of hospitality? Or are you going to be like Mary today, listening to the stories, listening to Jesus and what Jesus wants to convey to the people today? You see, I heard this from followers of Christ, Mary or Martha today, as if the choices that we have are really going to point to something else. You have heard the scripture. Mary was absorbed with listening. And Martha, this is my word, was having a fit. It's not really the scriptural way, right? She was having a fit because she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, we know that Jesus really did not miss the importance of this pivotal moment, because Jesus was really building a relationship with his disciples. And Mary was there listening. But you see, Martha was really a theological pioneer, asking the most profound question, the most deep, penetrating questions to Jesus. Well, she said, tell Mary to help around here. That's a theological question, isn't it? Tell Mary, I need some help. But instead of Jesus trying to trying to perhaps seed some ground, or perhaps ridicule or Martha or Mary. Remember that the comments of Jesus was really about openness, about the hospitality that God has opened. And I'm trying to understand what the word hospitality is in our world today. We know what hospitality is all about, isn't it? Welcoming our neighbors, opening our doors, being in mission, to love one another as God has loved us. We know what the word hospitality is. But I love words, and I discovered that there is a common root word for hospitality. I forgot the exact root word. Hospitality, we know. Do you know that the word hostility also derives from that same root word as hospitality? And according to some of my reading, there are only two letters in the original language that separates hostility and hospitality. But Jesus opted to use the word hospitality to welcome all of us. So even when Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many, many things," even though Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the better option," there was really no condemnation on the part of Jesus. I wish the chapter did not end there. I wish there was more conversation, because I think Martha was really a very exciting figure in the New Testament. I wish we could have more conversation in the dynamics of the conversation. But you see, the next time we heard of Martha was when his brother died, Lazarus, and Martha greeted Jesus saying, "Lord, you know, if you had been here only earlier, my brother would not have died." Martha was also the first eyewitness account to the resurrection, to the raising of Lazarus. Notice, however, that the contemplative, the more studious, the more quiet Mary was internally figuring this out. But Martha was there. We all respond to the passage of time and relationship in many different ways. The response of Jesus to Martha is one of teaching and is one of calling her to faith. This is the most interesting part. If Martha did not show resolve, you know, if Martha did not challenge Jesus, I think we would have likely missed out one of the most memorable sayings of Jesus when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live again." This was exactly the words of Jesus to Martha. We are not all going to be Mary. We are not all going to be Martha. We are not all going to be the disciples and in all of their joys and tribulations, but we are all going to be one in ministry to God, for God and the world. So the persistent question when I look at the scripture is not a choice between listening and service, because I think those are very difficult things to do. It's not a choice between, are you going to listen or are you going to serve? But rather, who do I want to become? Who do I want to become in my particular season of commitment and discipleship to Christ? It's really the stewardship thing. And it's a stewardship that is joyful, affirming, and life-sustaining. Martha taking care of the things that matter. Mary taking care of the things that were very important to her. And so the gospel invites us to see the value of relationship with Christ. We are given a particular place. And I have this old proverb, and I think some of you have heard this proverb before. You know, bloom where you are planted. You remember that? I think it's kind of like the 60s or 70s thing, right? know, bloom where you are planted. At least I said yes to this proverb because, you know, in the Philippines, well, things bloom. But then all of a sudden when you come to the United States, well, you know, things bloom, but you have to wait until springtime. But I like what Paul said. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or trustworthy, think about such things. I thought, wow, this is the first whatever word that I really like. But you see, Paul was writing this in prison. Paul was writing this in the midst of his captivity, saying, whatever is possible, do it, because it leads us to see the Christ in our lives. Relationship is the currency of our faith. Relationship really is the currency of our stewardship with God and with one another. And here's the closing part. I have heard a theory called the 6 degrees of separation. So I'm not really sure what it's all about. I heard, or I read, that the theory of 6 degrees of separation is simply an idea that on average, we are 6 relationships away from one person to another anywhere in the world. Think about Facebook or Twitter. You know someone that knows someone that knows someone. So 6 degrees of separation. But there is a less familiar theory. It says the 3 degrees of influence, which states that whatever we do or whatever we say within a network of friends, it's about 3 degrees, which says we can make an influence in the lives of our friends, in our church, in our community, so that we can make a difference. And whatever we say or do within this framework deeply affects our relationship. Think about Mary and Martha and the way they were able to reflect that relationship. Well, the alternative, as I was listening to the radio this morning, is looking into the abyss. And the commentator in the radio says, you know, we are about an inch away from the abyss. So when you think about the Grand Canyon, you're looking at the beauty, but that's also the abyss, the unknown. We are very close to the abyss. So we have a choice whether to treasure and nurture that relationship or to consider the abyss. And this is where I find Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Thankfully, as I had mentioned earlier, the cornerstone is the living stone. This gift of faith is the gift to convey the love of Christ. And when we continue to convey the love of Christ, we really become channels of grace and channels of God's mercy today. And you know the world in which we live in. And we know the tribulations. We know the trials. We don't have to look far to see what is happening in the world, in our world today. Fearful of what's going on for tomorrow. Afraid. But we also hear the words of God clearly in our lives. To become channels of grace. To choose that which will lift up our spirit for one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.